Hello, welcome to Spotlight, focusing on the joy of artistic creativity.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we hear about the wonderful Ros Kelly Bursary, a chance to get involved in a new theatre company based at the Peel Centenary Centre, a chat with the choreographer from the amazing musical Come From Away, the second part of our talk with the author of a Manx-based novel, The Bar at the Bottom of Broadway, and a romantic poem from the Manx Youth Bard. How do we fit it all in? Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Plenty more of you are. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, we've got them all, haven't we? Digital calligraphy, yes, why not? Lots of others I've probably forgotten. Email Howard Kane with an E at maxradio.com, spotlight at maxradio.com. As I say, it's lovely to hear from more of you. Let's get you on the programme. Lots to fit in, let's get going. The Ros Kelly Bursary, set up almost a decade ago now to enable two young Manx musicians to attend a summer school of their choice to hone their skills. Well, one of last year's musicians to benefit from this was the cellist Ruby Reynolds, and she, along with one of the administrators from the Friends of the Manx Youth Orchestra, Andrew Cole, himself of course a fine musician, dropped into the Spotlight studio to tell me more. And Andrew began by giving me a little more background about the bursary scheme.
Ros played in the Manx Youth Orchestra and unfortunately died young in 2015. So last year was the 10th anniversary of her death, and there was a very generous legacy set up to provide funds via a bursary to young musicians from the Isle of Man or living on the Isle of Man to study at a residential summer music course anywhere in the British Isles. So they could be an instrumentalist or a singer, and that's now been running for most of those 10 years. So it's a very unusual opportunity in the sense that it does include residential experience over the summer for young musicians to further their interest and meet other young musicians, hone their skills, etc.
So this is something that you took part in then in the summer just gone then, is it, Ruby? So tell us a little bit about, well, first off, just tell us a bit about your musical background. You say a cellist. Is this something you've always played or something you came to a little bit later on? What's your sort of musical history, as it were, thus far?
So I started playing my cello when I was about eight. It was just before my eighth birthday. I started lessons and, yeah, I just played since. So I've been part of the Manx Youth Orchestra, then the Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra, part in school, and then just practicing at home, and then play with my mum as well at home because she plays the cello as well.
And is that what drew you to the cello in the first instance, the fact that your mum was a player?
Yeah.
And so last year then, in the summer, tell us about your summer then. Which school did you go to?
So I attended the Oxford Cello School. It was at Malvern College for a week, and yeah, it was a really good experience. I really enjoyed it.
And did you do some research before deciding to go there? Did you look around, or are there other places that you could have gone, or is there really, when it comes to having a cello summer school, are there limited sort of options?
So I looked around for like cello specific, and that was the main one for that. And then there was some that were like full orchestra. But when I spoke to like people about it, we thought the cello only would be probably a better option because it's more... tailored to what a cellist would need to practice on instead of a full orchestra instead.
So tell us a little bit about the experience. What did you sort of actually do while you were there? Was it all study? Was it workshops? Or was it playing solos, instructions, playing with the orchestra? A bit of everything?
It was mostly everything. So we did, obviously, mostly cello playing. So I had solo rehearsals, then piano rehearsals, ensemble rehearsals, and then full orchestra rehearsals as well. And then additionally, we had choir, which is something new for me. I hadn't done choir before, really. We had a conducting workshop, and then a teaching workshop, which was quite handy for me because at the time I was thinking of doing music teaching potentially as a career, so I got a full insight into what a teacher would do, which was really good.
And did you enjoy the experience?
Yeah. yeah, it was really good.
See, to clarify in your mind again, because you just mentioned teaching there, and I was going to say, are you thinking of going on and making music your life and your profession, or is it something you're thinking of sort of keeping as a hobby through life, or maybe you haven't thought about it either way yet?
At the moment, it's going to be a hobby. Mm-hmm. I'm going to study biology at university and then keep music as like a side, like a hobby instead of a job.
So it's the time of year then, Andrew, when people can apply for the forthcoming year. If anyone's listening to this and thinking, wouldn't mind a go, how do they go about it?
Yes, well, how they go about it is they need to send in an application form, and they can get one of those from the music service, which is based up at St. Ninian's Lower School. They can email thefmyo@gmail.com, thefmyo@gmail.com, to request an application form. And it needs to be sent back to that email address or to my home address, which is on the form. The key date is the 23rd of February, Monday the 23rd of February, which is the first Monday back after half term. And that gives them the rest of the time from now until then to think about where they might like to go, what they might like to study, what experience they want. Because I think, for listening to Ruby, it's very much about the experience and new experiences, and different courses have certain unique experiences they offer. For example, Ruby mentioned conducting. They might not all have conducting. So they can do a little bit of research, and we can help them with that if necessary. But particularly and most importantly, they need to tell us what benefit they hope to get from participating in a residential summer school, because that's what unlocks the very generous bursary funding up to £1,000 to cover accommodation and travel.
And would you say, with that in mind, actually, what would you say for you, Ruby, then, was the benefit for you of attending the school during the summer?
So looking back, I improved my playing, obviously, like you would from a week long, like amazingly, like from, if I look at how I played before to look at how I play now, it's completely different. Like, I improved my vibrato, position changing, like shifting up and down the cello, and like making a nicer sound. So that's what I really wanted to get. And then as well, like, be with like-minded musicians, because obviously there are a lot of cellists on the Isle of Man, but not as many as like a lot of other instruments. So talking, like, I'm still in contact with them now, like talking about stuff we're playing and stuff. So it was really helpful to do that.
And what do you think was sort of a single big takeaway from your studies during the summer, you think you sort of came away with? Was there anything, one thing that really stood out?
The days were quite full on. So like keeping at it, a lot of the, obviously we came from lots of different places, had different teachers. So they knew stuff that I didn't, and I knew stuff that they didn't. So, like, building off of that was really a good experience to have.
So it is open now then, Andrew. You've got to be resident in the Isle of Man. You've got to be 16 to 21. Any other qualifications or things that people must fit in order to actually qualify for the bursary?
Well, I think an applicant should be able to show that they're genuinely interested in progressing their musical promise, and they need to show that they really want to go on a course, but otherwise, not really. If they are under 18 years old, they will need to enclose a short signed and dated letter from a parent or carer to support their application. Mm-hmm. But I would say that over the years I've been administering the bursary, we've had such a wide range of different interests and enthusiasms. Just looking at the list in front of me, trumpet, voice, brass and percussion, piano, saxophone, clarinet, composition even 1 year, dance 1 year. That was a kind of exception, but it did include musical performance as well. Euphonium. And then Ruby is our very first string player to attend, so we would encourage more applications. Brilliant. From string players, but it can be really any musical discipline. Yeah, and I think you asked the question about takeaways from the course. I think reading people's feedback over the years, the one word that stands out from almost everyone is my confidence went through the roof.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you'd agree with that,
yeah,
Ruby.
Yeah, definitely.
It's perhaps quite surprising that you're the first string player in a way. I was amazed at that when you said that. I mean, an amazing list of different skill sets and different instruments there. But wow, yeah, first string player. It is quite surprising that. Finally, then, Ruby, you've been there, obviously, as we were saying, and as Andrew was saying, it's been a wonderful experience by your own admission, and your playing's come on leaps and bounds. And it, you know, as you say, it gives you contacts, networks, skill sets you might have not had before. What would you say to anyone listening to this thinking, yeah, should I have a go? What would you say to them?
Even if it's like a back of your mind thought, because it was for me, it was a back of mind thought before I looked into it properly. Just try, like, read through it, talk to your teacher, talk to your parents, talk to other people. If you're in Manx Youth Orchestra, talk to the conductors, talk to other players, like, about it, because they'll know someone who's done it, or they'll know of someone who can, and they can, if you want to ask questions, just ask anyone who's been, and they'll happily help, I'm sure.
Lovely cello playing from Ruby Reynolds there, I think during her summer school attendance last year. So if you would like to benefit from the Ros Kelly Bursary, you know what to do. That cut-off date for applications again is the 27th of February, so you've got plenty of time.
On the northeast tip of North America, on an island called Newfoundland, is an airport. Now, it used to be one of the biggest airports in the world. And next to it is a town called...
The opening number of the show, Come From Away, the amazing musical based on a true story about planes being grounded in Newfoundland following the September the 11th attacks and the human kindness shown to the passengers. Great show, I saw it in the West End. It's now coming to the Gaiety Theatre this July, staged by Two Feathers Productions, and associate director and choreographer Tara Overfield was the choreographer on the West End production itself. She works around the world as a professional, of course. She says the West End show is what people will see here on the Isle of Man.
So when I came over to the Isle of Man 14 years ago, it was to direct Miss Saigon. And since then, I've done many shows. But I also met my husband here, who's Manx. And something that I've picked up over the years is this wonderful island spirit and kindness. And I remember one of my first days on the island, there's a wonderful lady called Karen Corkill who plays the piano for the, you know, for the rehearsals and everything. She's just a wonderful lady. And I think within minutes of knowing her, she offered me to borrow her car or if I needed to go around. And it was the loveliest thing to come from London, who everybody's a little bit more closed off, you know, we get on our trains and don't talk to anybody. And, you know, it's not the same. And I just realised what a glorious amount of love and kindness there is amongst you all to each other. And this show is about that. This show is about another island over in Newfoundland. And it's about the day that the Twin Towers were hit. And on 9/11, as we all know it to be, there were thousands of passengers flying across the world at that point, but specifically across North America. And there were 38 passenger planes that suddenly needed to land immediately because of them being bomb threats and the terror that had gone into the Twin Towers. So they had to find somewhere to land all of these planes safely. And in the middle of Newfoundland, there is an airport called Gander Airport, and it used to be one of the biggest airports in the world, and they used to set down to refuel years ago. And this was the best place they could find to put all these 9,000 people to land safely. And so the show isn't actually about the 9/11 and the Twin Towers, it's what happened after. And it's about how the people of Newfoundland took in all of these 9,000 passengers. They more than doubled their population overnight, and they brought them into their homes and they fed them and looked after them. They took care of them for 5 days until these passengers were allowed to go back to their homes all around the world. So the spring off of this, there are 9,000 people and their families and generations that can have this story. But what's been so wonderful, it's been made into this musical. by David Hain and Irene Sankoff, married couple. They went over to Newfoundland on the 10th anniversary and they did interviews. So the whole show is based on real, true life, real interviews with real people. And so the whole show is made up of real stories, and the 12 actors depict 9,000 passengers plus 7,000 Newfoundlanders, and we do it all in a glorious 100-minute show without an interval.
And we're going to hear more from Tara about Come From Away next week.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Now, there's something new afoot at the Peel Centenary Centre. A new creative venture is getting underway.
Hi, I'm Aylin Clegg, and I'm starting a new theatre group.
So, Solon Theatre Group then, tell us a little bit about its sort of background. What was the idea behind it?
Well, it started off with a piece of work that I'd written. I do a lot of writing for children at the Bun School, but I'd heard the story of Anne Thompson, who was a lady who was picked up for stealing lace in the 1800s, and she was ordered to be transported from the island and ended up drowning on the convict ship that she was on before she got to Botany Bay. And I'd written a kind of dramatic song cycle around that in Manx, which I was working on with my community choir, Unker Air, and I wanted to stage it somewhere. I was chatting to Dave McLean from the Centenary Centre about it, and he suggested that perhaps we could get some kind of theatre group associated with the Centenary Centre going. So
this is the idea. So this is Solon then, this is Salt.
That's right, yeah. Salt, a very useful thing in lots of folk tales. It can be magical and break spells. It can preserve things. So it seemed like a good name for a Peel theatre group.
A good title. So it's going to be based at the Centenary Centre. Is it going to be open to anyone? What sort of people are you looking for to sort of get involved with this?
People who are writing things, and then people who'd like to get involved in something that's a bit different, who maybe aren't involved in groups that are already going, or maybe they are. My kind of territory is somewhere in between bewildering and predictable.
That's a happy space to be. Do they need to be able to speak Manx, or just have an interest in Manx sort of history and culture, or where would you pitch that?
No, what I've written is in Manx, but I'm interested in stories from anywhere around the world, so any culture really, and any age. It's just the idea is to bring creative people together to do something new.
So would you be aiming to have sort of productions at the Centenary Centre on a regular basis or ad hoc? How do you see that panning out?
I'm not sure yet, which is why we're having an open evening on the 29th of January from 7 o'clock at the Centenary Centre. So if you're interested in finding out more, you could come along to that.
Brilliant. And is this so you're looking for writers, actors, poets, musicians, all of the above and more?
Yeah, and anybody who's interested in the tech side of things as well, which I don't know very much about. So lighting, sound and creating scenery, that sort of thing. Or just being audience, indeed.
And that, so from therefore, so the open evening is on the 29th. Anyone can come along to that if they have an interest and sort of can have a chat. And the idea is off the back of that, is that going to be sort of like a workshop evening to bat a few ideas around?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have a suggestion barrel. And then I've got a few sort of key dates throughout the year with ideas for putting some work together. It's not just me involved in it. I've got two fellow directors, Nicola Toombs and Corey Phillips, and Corey's done a lot of writing and acting, and then Annie Kizik's got lots of ideas.
Absolutely.
As well.
So. Annie's always got ideas.
Absolutely.
So great. So it's going to be something a bit new, something, as you say, because I was thinking it is purely Manx, but what you're saying there, it's talking about doing things Manx, using Manx culture, but it could be stories from, as you say, any culture from around the world.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love it if people from other cultures came and got involved and we could share stories.
Brilliant. And just finally then, if anyone's listening to this and thinks, yeah, this appeals to me, but I can't make the 29th, is there somewhere they can go to find out more details of how they can get involved in the coming weeks and months?
They could drop me an email at kirrieaylin@gmail.com.
A good Manx word if you didn't know it. Sullen Salt. That open night again, Thursday, 29th of January, and we look forward to hearing more about what transpires in months to come. Yndisac, Gentemai, Aelin and Co. We heard from the Irish author Conor Sharkey last week. The Bar at the Bottom of Broadway is described as a warm, witty, beer-soaked tale of crime, camaraderie, romance and how life is all about the decisions we make. Now, Conor is based in Ireland. The book, set in the Isle of Man, we heard about why that was last week. But the book also has a poignant dedication, as Conor told me.
So the book is dedicated to Sarah Harrison. She was Morrison before she married, and Sarah was from my hometown. She was actually my sister's best friend. And I think this is why the book sort of came to me in a way, because Sarah had incurable cancer, and through my sister, we sort of lived Sarah's journey with her. Sarah lived in Newcastle in England, and my sister was back and forth through the, you know, the chemotherapies and the radiotherapies and the various treatments that Sarah had to get. So I wanted to do something for her, the charity that she set up, which is Sarah's Star. And I thought, how could I, rather than just give a, you know, a financial donation, how could I do something for the charity? So I says, I would write this book and donate it to Sarah, or sorry, dedicate it to Sarah's Star, mm-hmm. which I did. And Sarah very kindly gave me her story from start to finish about having incurable cancer, and that's included in the book in detail. And I know Sarah was very happy with how it was all described and the detail in it. Sadly, Sarah did get to see the book, and I know she read the first chapter, and she was very tickled by the fact that her name was there and it was dedicated to her charity. But sadly, we lost Sarah very late last year, which was very, very tough for us all. Listeners might remember she was on with, her name eludes me, but she was a Woman of the Year on UTV very recently. So she was in the headlines herself, a remarkable lady. Honestly, sadly, we lost her to cancer, but I suppose her name and her charity lives on, and it's my little donation to Sarah's Star.
Well, that's a lovely thing to do, I must admit, and I think we all would applaud you for that. And yes, we'll probably all have loved ones or someone we've known who've lost to cancer. The book itself, I mean, is it clearly? You said you still love the Isle of Man, come over regularly. It's been. You sound like you've really enjoyed the process and whatever. Is it a one-off from the point of view of something set on the Isle of Man, or can you see yourself perhaps doing other stories based around the island?
I don't actually know. I'm still recovering from this process, but it was a joy for me, a real joy, because I got to talk about, you know, places that I've visited, and I've been to most of the island now. There are very few places that I haven't seen. But it talks about, obviously, it's set in Douglas, but, you know, it talks about Ramsay. And when I was there at the end of last year, I was there picking up sort of final bits of colour for the book. So I was in Castletown, and you'll see, you know, there's in the book, it talks about Castle Rushen and, you know, the pier. So it talks about Ramsay, Peel, Castletown, Port St. Mary gets a mention. All these sort of landmarks are around the island. So it was a joy for me to be able to do that from a geographic point of view, but also to go around these places. And Port St. Mary features quite heavily in it. And I just went up there one day when I was there late last year, and I spent 3 or 4 hours just sitting there and picking up some colour, as they say, you know, yeah. And watching life go by. And it's all in there. So it's really my love letter to the Isle of Man. Do I want to do another one? Yeah, it could happen, absolutely. But I'll have to wait for the inspiration to come. It's not here yet. We have another book in the offing, but it's not set in the Isle of Man. But this one is. So so far, it's been very well received. So I'm delighted.
Brilliant. Well, many congratulations on that. And keep coming to the Isle of Man. Always lovely to see you. Pop up to Mike's Radio and say hello, perhaps. And where, finally, is the book widely available? Specific places you can buy a copy?
Yes, it will be available on all online retailers from the 30th of January. But there are physical copies in the book company there down in down in Douglas. They very kindly took some copies, and it's available there, priced $8.99. So, and I have to say as well, it's a great honour for me to be on Manx Radio. When I'm over there, I always listen. So to be actually on the radio is something special for me. So thank you.
Well, isn't that lovely to hear? Thanks to author Conor Sharkey, and his book again, The Bar at the Bottom of Broadway, is widely available and a more than enjoyable read. A little poetry to finish. We'll be talking to the current Manx Youth Bard, Ellie Reynolds, next week as she nears the end of her term in office. Search already underway for the next Manx Youth Bard, but I thought we'd have a poem from Ellie this week, and she had something romantic for me.
This is a love poem. I feel like it's very obviously pretty normal as a teenage girl to fall in love.
Yeah, for anyone fall in love.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm very sappy about it. And... yeah, I love love. I think it's great.
Excellent.
So this one's called Safe. Being in your arms is irreplaceable. Surrounded in your warmth as all the tension in me drains away. All the noise in my head muffled simply by your presence. Looking up to see the softest smile on your face as your honey brown eyes look into mine. A gentle heat rises over my cheeks as I look away, head in hands, my heart fluttering in my chest. Your hugs are like a buoyancy, keeping me afloat in the surrounding storm. Your soft breath against my ear, your arms gently wrapped around my waist, holding me close and safe. I'd never understood how it was meant to feel. Anxiety mistaken for butterflies, lust mistaken for love. But with you, it all feels right. All falling into place. So simple, yet so safe.
Wasn't that lovely? Good to hear romance isn't dead, even if it feels that way sometimes when you listen to the news. That's about it for now. Back next week, of course, when we'll be hearing more from Ellie, among other joys. See you then. In the meantime, be good, whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Hey, Moo.